I like victory, don't you? I don't like losing. Amen. I'm glad I'm on the winner's side, aren't you?
Oh, yes. Amen.
I'm glad that the Lord is our captain. I'm glad that, amen, that we're going to be victorious. I say quite often, I've looked in the back of the book, we win. Amen. I'm so glad of that. How about you? Praise God. Well, hurricanes, earthquakes, and missiles. I am glad I'm saved. How about you? Amen. I tell you what, I am so thankful that the Lord saved me and took that fear of those things happen. Not concern. I've still got concern, but I don't have fear. Amen. And that's the big difference. If I didn't have Jesus living within me, I might have fear. But because He is within me, amen, I know that He's going to protect me and keep me. If you have your Bibles tonight, I want to go to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4. Amen. Anybody been blessed this week? I know Brother Chris has. Amen. Amen. God, we begin to pray immediately upon hearing from Sister Tabitha. And, you know, as I said over the weekend, you know, God goes where we can't go. He goes into emergency rooms. He goes into operating rooms. And He can be there. And it's so good to know that we don't face these issues alone. He's always with us. But thank God for that. And others have been blessed as well this week. In Ephesians chapter number 4, I want to read verses 17 through 24, and then we're going to talk on that for a while tonight. Ephesians chapter number 4, beginning with verse number 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling hath given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Amen. Can we give the Lord praise for that word tonight? Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love You, and we thank You, God, for another time and opportunity to come into Your house to worship. Father, we may be small in number, but Your Spirit is great. And Father, I pray, God, that You would reach down, Lord, and just minister to each and every one of us tonight. God, let us not only be hearers of Your word, but Father, allow us to be doers of Your word as well. I pray, God, that You would speak to our hearts, our spirits, that we may understand and comprehend what Your word is and what Your will is in our life. And we do remember those who are suffering, those who are sick. Many, many, God, are in dangerous situations, Father, and I pray for those who are in harm's way. Pray Your protecting spirit upon those. Now, Father, just lead us and guide us by Your Holy Spirit tonight. We'll be so careful to give You all the praise, the honor, and the glory. For we ask it in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you.
Amen.
You may be seated tonight. I may use the handheld a little bit. I might want to walk around just a little bit tonight. I guess if I had a message title tonight, it would be the phrase that the Apostle Paul here uses. And he gets very plain and very blunt. How many knows that plainness is easy understood? And he begins to minister to the folks at Ephesus there and assure them that there is a difference. How many knows there's a different lifestyle when Jesus comes into your life? Amen. If you don't know, there needs to be. Amen. There certainly needs to be. We may be in the world, but we're not supposed to be of the world. We're supposed to let the light of the Lord shine in our lives so that others might not see us, but might see Jesus in us. And Paul said here, the statement that he made, he said, because of the blindness of their heart, the blindness of the heart. We usually don't think about the heart as something that is associated with vision. But the Apostle Paul chose to use this, and he goes on to explain. And there's several symptoms here that I underlined, and I want to talk about them tonight. Hopefully that the Lord will lead us here and give us that He wants us to understand and know tonight. But there's things that we need to be aware of and things that we need to understand. Somebody once said, Knowledge is wisdom, and I think that is knowledge of the Word of God is certainly wisdom, and especially in the day and hour that we're living in, it is wonderful to know and to be able to know that we can rely on the Word of God. We can find comfort, we can find strength, we can find healing, we can find whatever that we need as a child of God in His written Word. But the Apostle Paul used this term, a blind heart, meaning that there's things that they may see with their eye, but they do not perceive it in their heart. And they, for whatever reason, you know, self-justification is rampant in this world today. It's almost to the point of, I think one of the comedians, I think it might have been Flip Wilson. I know he was the one that was said, you know, if it feels good, do it, or whatever feels right, do it. You know, that's certainly not parallel to the Word of God. In fact, it's totally contrary to the Word of God, because we can't go by our feelings. Amen. If I went by my feelings, all of us, if we went by our feelings, you know, there'd be a lot of times we wouldn't feel like coming to church. We wouldn't feel like praying. We certainly wouldn't feel like opening the Word of God. But we have to walk by faith. And the Apostle Paul begins to talk about this. And you know, he summarizes it as having a blind heart, or the blindness of their heart. And the symptoms here, well, I'm going to take them maybe one at a time. And since we're small in number tonight, certainly we'll do it in the format of maybe a Bible study. And we encourage you, if you have a comment or a question or something that you want to add, please feel free to do so tonight, because I think maybe this is best said in this particular format. But these are the symptoms that the Apostle Paul listed here, and I'm going to take them maybe one at a time. The first thing he mentioned was vanity of their mind is one of the symptoms of a blind heart. And, you know, one thing about a blind heart, I don't think a lot of people realize that they have that condition. A lot of people in the world think they're perfectly all right. I mentioned self-justification. Self-justification also, people justify themselves by what others do. You know, just because the crowd does it, or just because the majority does it, doesn't mean it's right. Amen. In fact, more times than not, the majority is usually wrong, because the majority usually bases their decisions on feelings or what everybody else is doing. There was one time in my life I used to like to try to keep up with styles. I did, but I was... that I was a lot younger then, and probably more vain. And the older I get, I'm to the point, if it ain't comfortable, I don't need it. I don't want it. You know, I want comfort, you know. And we was watching something. I don't know what it was. And there was two people. I want to say an elder, a more senior person, and then this younger person. And when they stood, I don't know what it was. We was watching Dr. Phil, yesterday. And, you know, they were sitting down, and when they got up, I think it was an ex-Alabama football player. I can't remember his name, but I think that's who it was. And, nice-looking young man and all. But he got up, and I looked at Penny, and I said, Penny, he looks like he's wearing his little brother's suit. Does that not look like, the young style today is the little bitty narrow tie? Well, I got no problem with a little bitty narrow tie. But when your coat comes up, they always told me, I used to work at Rich's, and they told me your coat tail was supposed to, you cup your hand, it's supposed to fit right in there sometime, you know. But his is up here like that, and he could barely button it here, and it looked like he was wearing his little brother's suit and his pistol-legged pants. I don't know how in the world he got in them things. And his feet looked like they was that long. And I told Penny, I said, if I had big feet, I certainly would not want to wear something pistol-legged that make my feet look like that. But, I've got to a point where that doesn't impress me anymore. I don't really desire that. I just want comfort, you know. But a lot of people today will wear those things or do those things, not because they want to, but because they want to fit in, because everybody else is doing it. And let's get off the clothes a little bit, but a lot of people's actions are based on what other people do. Maybe they don't enjoy what they're doing, but the crowd is doing it, you know? And maybe they don't really want to do it, but they want to fit in, they want to be popular, and they want to fit in around the office or whatever it is. So they'll join in these things when really down in the heart, they don't really feel like they want to do that. And the Apostle Paul evidently had some situations going on in that day and hour, because he said, in the vanity of their mind, other words, in the perverseness and emptiness of their souls, which is due to the folly and vanity of their minds. You know, you have to control your mind. Amen. Because you'll have some thoughts sometimes that's just not righteous thoughts. I mean, if you live in this world very long, if you drive on I-20 very long, you're going to have some thoughts that's going to run through your mind, and you're going to have to keep those thoughts under control. But the vanity of their mind is one of the symptoms of a blind heart. In other words, they just want to live a life of vanity and folly, and again, whatever feels good, do it, and without any consequences, without anybody pointing a finger at them, in other words, they just want to be free to do whatever they want to do, and that contributes to a blind heart. Now, I don't think one of these things alone would cause the blindness of the heart, but when you begin to do these things or add these things in totality, it begins to be a very bad problem. Just like if you were going to the doctor, and Brother Chris knows this, they probably run you through the mill, and they probably did every kind of test that they probably could do, and thank God that the results were good. But, you know, if you go and there's this maybe one symptom that you got, 9 times out of 10, or maybe 10 times out of 10, that's not a big issue with them. They can concentrate on that one symptom and get you back to health or fight that thing. But if you've got about 10 different symptoms of one thing, then it's going to be more aggressive. It's going to be more involved in things like that. So, you know, when we, if any of these things begin to say, you know what, I battle against that, you know, if it's just a symptom. But if you're battling against every one of these things and you're overcome by these things, then we really, really, really need to get the Lord to say, Lord, you need to help me in these matters. And basically what he tells us after he tells us all these symptoms, he said, you have not learned that in Christ. I mean, you don't learn that vanity of the spirit or vanity of the mind. You don't learn that in Christ. You learn other things in Christ. So that's the first symptom. Again, perverseness and emptiness in their souls due to the folly and vanity of their minds. You know, some people are just not satisfied with anything. They're always got a hungry soul. They always want more. And, you know, I've told this before. Heard a very learned elderly person say, whatever you allow this generation to do will become the norm for the next generation. And we're in that process now. Over the years, we've allowed things in generation, and the next generation just does them as a norm now. That's part of that vanity of their mind. Another thing that he lists, and this is very disturbing too, it says their understanding is darkened. Their understanding is darkened. And I don't really think he's talking about worldly wisdom or book learning or anything like that. I think he's talking about referring to the understanding of God's word and what God's will is. You know, I want that to be clear in my mind. I don't want that to be darkened whatsoever so that I can't hear the voice of God, so that I can't listen to what the will of God is and understand what he wants to do in my life. Sometimes I don't understand it. I don't think we really have to understand the will of God. It just says be obedient. So whatever the will of God is, that's what I want to do. But understanding darkened means reasoning and moral understanding has become cloudy. Let me read that again. Reasoning and moral understanding has become cloudy. Now, it has not become cloudy to the word of God, okay? That is still clear. That is concise. Let your yeas be yea and your nays be nay. But society has clouded the will of God, the word of God. And they've clouded the morals. You know, what seems moral to one person might say, oh, that's, you know, yeah, come on, that's, you know, that's just old-fashioned. That's just old fogey. You know, let me tell you something. Seek ye the old paths. That's what the Bible says. Amen. The old paths have stood for time and time again. But having their understanding darkened. And the Apostle Paul is talking. Basically, he says, these kind of people, he said, don't be like them. Don't walk like them. Don't desire to be like them. Pray for them. You know, communicate with them. Love them. But don't be like them. You know, and that tells me even in this day and hour, I know it was for that time, but let's quit letting Hollywood dictate to us what we're supposed to watch or what we're supposed to, how we're supposed to act or what we're supposed to do. And let me take it a step further. Let's
Let's quit letting political correctness tell us how we're supposed to live our lives. Amen. I'd rather look in the Holy Scriptures, amen, than what society deems right or wrong. But again, this day and this time that the Apostle Paul was talking to them, their understanding had been darkened. And I put a little notation by there: after the reasoning and moral understanding has become clouded, what I put in quotation mark was poor choices. Now, probably every one of us have made poor choices, but when poor choices begin to be routine, when constantly making poor choices after poor choices after poor choices, we've all heard it, you know, you get people, you get their lives cleaned up, you get them straightened up, and first thing you know, they're right back in the same situation that they was, and a lot of it, you know, and here's the thing, a lot of times after those people have made a constant routine of making poor choices, then they always look for somebody else. They say, well, it's society's fault, it's mom's fault, it's dad's fault, whatever it is. But listen, poor choices can keep you in a mess of trouble. So, you know, again, one of these symptoms, you know, maybe that's controllable. But when you have these multiple symptoms, then you're going to have a condition that the Apostle Paul called the blindness of the heart. You know, and we talk about the heart. I know it's a pumping organ, but we also talk about the heart basically as the soul of man. That's where your feelings are. You know, why have you, but people say, I love you with all my heart. Why would you say that? Because it's not just lip service. I want you to know that, or when you say something, you know, he was doing this, but his heart wasn't really in it. You know, what does that mean? Just halfway doing it, you know, but when you put your heart into it, you know, so when we're talking about the blindness of the heart here, we're not talking about the blindness of the pumping organ that is within us, but we're talking about that basically that soul of man, that spirit that is within us. And when that becomes blinded, then that person thinks that they can do or say or act anyway, amen, and not have to. Have to answer to the word of God. But the Apostle Paul said, no, you know, that you got to draw a line there. So having their understanding darkened. I know we said give you a chance to talk, but you know, preacher, he don't give you a chance. You just got to speak up. So if you have a comment, please raise your hand or say something. Say oh me or amen or something. The third symptom, and this, you know, every one of these are really scary when you look at them one at a time. But the third symptom was alienated from God. Alienated from God. You know, can I see the hands of tonight? Do we think that is a symptom in the world today? Yeah, I would agree wholeheartedly. Alienated from God. What do we think has caused that? Sin? Becoming a servant to sin? Yeah, certainly. Immorality. You know, people don't want you to tell them, you know, about morality. People don't want you to govern them with the word of God, you know. And it's not my morals. You know, it's not what Brother Eddie says is right and wrong, but what the word of God was. And I believe that's what the Apostle Paul was bearing out. He says, no, it's not me setting these guidelines. It's not me telling you what you can and can't do. But Christ hasn't taught you that. You know, you have not learned that in Christ. When we learn things in Christ, it's totally opposite of these symptoms here that causes the blindness of the heart. Alienated from God. And I really, really like the definition that I found here. It said, estranged. We know what estranged means, you know, kind of separated, not together anymore. But you know, estranged could, you know, we could put blame on either one if it's estranged. But it also goes in to say estranged and self-banished from God. See, God doesn't alienate himself from us. Aren't you glad? Amen. But we can alienate ourselves from God. Self-banished. God didn't banish us. You know, those people walked away from the statutes and the precepts of God. Those people walked away from what God's word had told them to do. They walked away from morality. They walked away from righteousness. They walked away from holiness. They walked away from obeying the word of God and began to do what they wanted to do, feel like they wanted to feel, do it anytime that they wanted to. So they alienated themselves from God. And Paul pointed this out. This This is another symptom of having a blind heart. And, you know, if you was to walk up to somebody and witness to them and tell them you've got a blind heart, they would have no idea what you were referring to. And many times, if you even begin to tell them about the Word of God, they're not going to have it. They're not going to have it because, again, it's almost that they've been blinded by their self-will, blinded by their self-banishment, blinded by their own self-justification. And it's very difficult to witness to those type of people. You know, and I found the best thing to do. I tell you what worked for me. People just kept loving me. Amen. Not loving what I did, but loving me. And that's what Christ did. Christ didn't condone what they did, didn't condone the sin, but he loved them. And to me, that's still one of the greatest drawing things that there is to be able to draw people. And because you're never going to get an unsaved person to live by this. You can put it in writing and hand it to them, but they're not going to do it because how many of us couldn't do it either except the Spirit of the Lord is within us. There's nothing holy about me. The Bible says my righteousness is as filthy rags, but I'm so glad that I gave my unrighteousness to God and he put his Spirit within me. Amen. And that allowed my heart to be able to see, amen, and see the Word of God. So we haven't learned that type of behavior from God. Anybody? Yes. Absolutely. And it should affect us. It should affect us. I mean, that, like I said, so many times, I'm here because of the prayers of others, and they reached out to me when I was in a mess, you know, and because of the love. And, you know, and you can love folks, and like Brother Chris said, still tell them the truth. Jesus was as compassionate and loving and sincere and gentle and meek, but he spoke the truth. He would not condone sin. He would not compromise sin. And thank God for that. And I appreciate those words and that those comments tonight. Anybody else? Yes. Right. That's so true. And that's exhibited in the world today. It's you know, that nobody wants to be governed by anything. They want to have their own freedom to do whatever they want to do. Brother Chris, one of the things you said really, really struck me. You know, it's almost like that you're living a life that you have to make excuse for.
Yes.
For doing the right thing. That's how upside down the world is today. That's how, you know, when right is wrong and wrong is right. And rather than the people having to give an excuse for the lifestyle they're living, it's you got to live an excuse, really. I mean, you're the one that's picked on, and not just you, but the church as a whole. I mean, you know, we're the ones that's put down. We're the ones that's condemned, you know. I mean, if you want a whole lot of friends, you don't want to be popular, just do what the world does. I mean, they'll pick you up in a heartbeat. But you want to, you know, one thing, one reason I found out is the reason they pick at you and ridicule you, they're convicted by your lifestyle. It kind of goes against them. Whether you say anything or not, just you living a holy and righteous life and striving to do what God has called you to do, it's almost like two magnets. You turn them one way and one rejects the other one. And that's the kind of the way they are. They're uncomfortable around a Christian. They're especially, you know, anybody can say they're a Christian, but a practicing Christian, a born again saved Christian, you know, one who's living a life for the Lord, it really, really convicts them. So they alienate, estrange, and self-banish from God. The fourth one, the ignorance of God's word. You know, ignorance, that's a strong statement. It's almost a obnoxious word, you know, but the Apostle Paul used it. And it's, you know, and ignorance is not meaning basically that somebody is totally without the ability to learn. But basically here, when I looked in the Amplified Version, it said willful blindness and lack of perception. Willful blindness. They're not really blind. They just don't want to see. Okay? It's not that they don't understand the Bible. They don't want to obey the Bible. I've heard people say, oh, I can't understand that. Well, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. God will open up your eyes. How many knows that? There's been times, I've been saved for a number of years, and there's times I have to pray. I said, Lord, let me understand that. I want to know what you're saying in your word of God. And I'll pray and I'll ask God to illuminate me. But you got to want it, amen. And you got to obey it after you find out what it is. But that willful blindness and that ignorance of God's word and not knowing God's word. And isn't it a shame today that so many of this generation can't tell you any books in the Bible, any references whatsoever. It's just that it's not practiced. Amen. You have to practice. You have to stay in the Word of God. It's not one of those books that you read one time and put it back up in the bookshelf. Amen. I'm constantly referring to the Word of God. I need the Word of God. I need it daily in my life. And I'm still, God is still enlightening me in things in the Word of God. But today, and in Apostle Paul's time, he said there is an ignorance of God's Word. And that's the lack of perception and a willful blindness. And it even gets worse, I think. All of these things are difficult and bad, and even in their singularity, but you put them all together, and it's really a bad condition. Another thing he lists is being past feeling. Being past feeling. Now, what do you think that means? What does that mean to you, being past feeling? Anybody ever heard, he just doesn't have any conscience. You ever heard that? Or having their conscience seared with a hot iron? Brother Chris?
You know, like you said, if I put my finger on that hard enough, then after a while it's going to be numb to that, and we're not going to be able to feel that. And that's where we can get so far away from God if we don't feel His presence. I've got to feel His presence every day.
Amen.
I've got to feel every morning. I say, God, I've got to feel Your presence.
Got to. I'm addicted to it.
I'm addicted to it.
Amen. Search me and, oh man.
Because I'm flesh. I'm, I, you know, when I get hot and I start
Amen. You talk about the desire, and that's what the Apostle Paul's talking. You know, in Christ, you've learned to have that desire. You need it. You're addicted to it. You want it each and every day. But he says these other, he's referring to the other Gentiles, basically. Those, if one place it actually calls them heathen, those that, you know, just completely contrary to the word of God. But again, you know, they're past that feeling. They're, you know, they just kind of want to do whatever they want to do when they want to do. And you talk about feeling and having the desire. They don't have that desire. That's not there. If they had that desire, they'd do something about it. But that desire is a further thing from them, because that desire to do God's word is contrary to their lifestyle. You talked about gradual. Satan, and he operates in gradual. I know you've all heard the story or the analysis of the frog. You know, you put a frog in boiling water and he's going to jump out because it's hot. But you put the frog in lukewarm water and you steadily increase the heat. You know, and the frog will stay in there and he'll be boiled, you know, because it's so gradual. And we see that in the world today. You know, as a Christian, you say, ooh, that's not of God. I don't want to be a part of that. But people who have been gradually, you know, bombarded with Satan's wiles and all that stuff, after a while, you know, it feels comfortable to them. Sin feels comfortable to them. And I'm glad that God has put that. Well, I call it the Holy Ghost spell. I'm just thankful for that, because in my little finite mind, I may not know what's right or wrong in certain situations. But, you know, to me, if it doesn't feel right, I just kind of say, oh, wait a minute, I'm not wanting to be a part of that. But and thank God for the feelings. But being past feeling through spiritual apathy, everybody knows, understands what the apathy is, complacency, have become callous and reckless. And I put in quotations, a no-care attitude. Don't care. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, I won't be the only one in hell? What consolation is that? And I've actually heard people say that, you know. I'm going to live my life the way I want to. I'm not going to be the only one in hell. I don't understand that concept. To me, that's almost being past feeling. That's that conscience that's been seared and God forbid that anybody ever get in that situation. But there, certainly that is another symptom of a blind heart. Lasciviousness, unbridled sensuality, and lust. No moral compass. If one of these probably is running rampant, and they all are bad, this one is running rampant today. I mean, you see it on just about everything you turn on. It's just immoral. I mean, the things that come out of films and movies and books and lifestyles and things like that. It's that's the lasciviousness that the Apostle Paul was talking about. And I'm sure if it was out of control in his day, in his time, there's no telling what the Apostle Paul would think today if he came to this time and saw what was going on. And listen, it's one thing for it to go on, but here's the dangerous thing: to have it permitted. Society permits it. Well, you know, everybody's doing it. Again, that doesn't make it right. So that unbridled, and you know what that unbridled means, just running rapid, just, you know, there's no control of it, okay? And you know, if you want a wake-up call, we're there. We're there. I mean, with the things that are going on in the world today. And you know what? It's even in our little ones. It's even in our teenagers. It we have to be very, very careful. And I know you're aware of that. And then he mentions in the latter part, puts these two things together. He says, uncleanness with greediness. Uncleanness with greediness. An eager and greedy to indulge in every form of impurity. Some of you Bible readers, tell me what the Word of God talks about when he looked down and saw Noah. And the thoughts of the people was on evil continuously. And God stepped in, and you know what God did. I mean, you know, we're getting to that point. We're getting to that point where there's such an eagerness and a greediness, a readiness to indulge in any and every form of impurity. And you know, and I'm a little naive on some things. Some things just scare me to death. And then when I hear about other things, I say, are you got to be kidding me? That's going on? And you know, we're in a mixed congregation, and I'm not going to go into specifics, but you have an idea. You know, understand all the types of impurity that's going on in the world today. Brother Chris.
I just couldn't help myself whenever, you know, the Bible says that the thoughts of the evil
continues. The
very next verse says, but Noah found grace.
He did. God's going to always have a remnant, ain't he?
But Noah found grace.
Amen. So, Brother Chris, what you're telling me, it is possible to live a righteous life even in an immoral community. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. But, you know, you got to be faithful.
Well, it all comes back to me, I think, that people can say what they want to. I think we are closer to the second coming because if God would absolutely have to apologize for Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, if something doesn't happen, say, because this day and age we're living in now is 10 times worse than what happened then. And I mean, just, and like you said, open. I mean, it's just open. And he would have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah for what he did to them if the time's not near, because it's just, like you said, eternity. If you can't believe that's happening today, and people just ignore it.
Right. Yeah.
Since they got so far away. I mean, if you can get them in some parts, you just hold them. But you go up 10 feet or 15 feet and you grab them, it bites.
Right.
And that's the same way with the world. They that uncaring that they drifted and drifted and drifted until they got there. There's no power from the field anymore. They just walked away from it totally. And God never went anywhere. He's sitting there begging them to come unto me. I gave you my son for your redemption, for your salvation, so you could get back to me. And y'all were running the other direction.
Absolutely. Amen.
That's why we're still here. You know, there's going to come a time, like I said, he will have to repent if something doesn't happen because it's getting worse and worse. If it wasn't for the remnant, and thank God for that, just like Noah. There are some around that still got their true heart and soul pointed to him. And said, don't let it, no matter what he might do with it. I mean, if they come tell me I had to give up Jesus or die, I pray to God I can say, well, take my life because I can't. I can do a lot without this down here.
That's right. Well, we know there's still a church because the rocks hadn't cried out yet, but there's still a church and a remnant, and God's going to always have a people and a remnant, and I thank God for that, and I want to be a part of that. Amen. Strive to be. You know, there was a generation that their concept was, I want to live as close to God as I possibly can. There's unfortunately seemingly a generation today, I want to live for God, but as far away as I can. You know, I don't want to not live for God, but I don't want to live as close to God as my grandmother did or my granddaddy did. You know, there's something to be said, and I want to be at the front of the line. I want to be as close to God as I possibly, because I need it. My flesh is weak. I need it. Brother Chris was talking about, I need that word every day. I need that communication. I need that relationship with the Lord. And then the Apostle Paul says, basically, I love verse number 20. After he lists all of these symptoms, he says, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So Paul said, you hadn't learned this from Christ, but we are encouraged, we are instructed to put off the old man, not just leave off the old man, but put on the new man. Amen. And even with that new man, there's still, we have to strive against that flesh to keep that flesh under subjection. Again, a blind heart, symptoms of it. You know, the word is so true. The word to me, I know that was written years and years ago, but it is certainly beneficial in the day and hour that we're living in. I mean, it's almost like the Apostle Paul stepped into the day, into this era, and saw what was going on and wrote that down. But, you know, there's always been that contrariness to God's word and that stubbornness not to obey the Lord. But I want God to melt that stony heart, amen, and give me a heart, amen, that's compliable to his word and humble and submissive to the word of God. Anybody else? Well, we certainly thank you for coming out on a Wednesday night. I know it's difficult. I know it's very hard. But thank you for the sacrifice that you made. And I pray that God will bless you immensely for it. Before we dismiss tonight, if you'd stand, if there's anyone who needs prayer, certainly God is able.